It's Ireland's most talked about podcast. The only podcast with live callers and live debates. It's Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy.
You're very welcome to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Jeremy, recorded live at our studio at the White Sands Hotel in Portmarnock in North County Dublin. Now, before I let you know what we want to talk about on this latest episode of Opinions Matter, I want to give a huge shout out to our current show sponsors, and that is The Snail Box at Kilmoon Cross between Ashburn and Slane, just off the N2 in County Meath. Now, The Snail Box, firstly, have been one of the most loyal supporters of all we do here on the Opinions Matter podcast, and they've been with us on and off since day one. The Snail Box is a one-of-a-kind pub and restaurant. As I said, it's just off the N2 at Kilmoon Cross. There's outdoor seating when the weather is nice, with breathtaking views of counties Meath, Dublin and Louth. And The Snail Box is more than just a dining spot. It's an experience. And Jeremy, you absolutely love the experience of being in The Snail Box. What is it that you like so much about it?
I'm going to be brutally honest about what I love about it.
Go on.
I love bread and butter food. Do you know what bread and butter food is?
Well, can I tell you, The Snail Box does more than just bread and butter food.
It's an expression. It means
real wholesome food.
Thank you. Real wholesome food. None of your fancy, you know, where you go to restaurants and you get this big huge dish and there's like one mushroom in the middle of it, and you walk out. You will never leave. And this should be their slogan, by the way. When you get on to Philip and find out, change the slogan. This should be the slogan. You will never leave The Snail Box hungry.
That's very true.
Unless, of course, you go in and don't order anything.
Yeah, well,
then. Let me rephrase that. If you go into The Snail Box and order food, you will never leave hungry.
Oh, and by the way, aren't you going to Emerald Park with the kids? Well, pop down to The Snail Box straight afterwards.
Just around the corner.
Yeah, it is. It's only 10 minutes away.
And it's a family one. I like giving my money to family-run places.
And it is. It's a family-run restaurant. There is always a member of the family there. Stephen or Paddy or Mark or Philip, one of them will be there at the at the front desk.
What's that noise there?
What's that noise?
Oh, it's Adrian dropping names.
They're the lads in The Snail Box.
Dropping names. No, but honestly, you will leave there amply satisfied.
Absolutely. So do pop into The Snail Box at Kilmoon Cross on the N2 between Ashburn and Slane and tell them that Adrian and Jeremy and Katie from Opinions Matter told you to pop in. So what do we want to talk about on this latest episode of Opinions Matter? A mother is absolutely distraught after a group of kids allegedly attacked her little girl and told her to go back to India. They said the F word and dirty Indian, go back to India, according to Anupa, speaking about her six-year-old daughter. And Anupa revealed the horror incident happened while her Irish-born little girl was playing outside her home. Now, in the last while, and on this particular podcast, we have spoken at length about the racist attacks directed at people from India. Now, this has become such a major issue here in Ireland that it has actually made national news headlines in India.
We were looking
at a country with a population of 1.4 billion, and this story of racial attacks against Indian people in Ireland is making national news in India. How embarrassing is that?
I was looking at the Indian Times there, which is one of their biggest news outlets, and it doesn't look good for Ireland to see these stories being plastered around the world. We normally tell our listeners what we are going to talk about before we do it on Facebook, and we decided today we wouldn't do it. We're going to be talking to Anupa, by the way. She's on the line there. She's going to tell us the full story, and we decided not to put it up on Facebook first, and I'll tell you why. Well, I made the decision. Adrian said put it up, and I said no, and the decision was... look at Sean. Oh, no.
Yeah, Sean, stop. Seriously.
Sean, seriously, piss off. Another The Irish Are Racist episode. Literally nobody has said that yet. Nobody has said the Irish are racist. So if that's in your head, Sean, go and have an early night. Anyway, the reason we didn't put it up on Facebook was because I always think the easy way out. I've seen, and we talked to Anoop about this. This story has been on a lot of the news sites on Facebook. And there's people putting up laughing emojis about a child being racially abused. Laughing emojis and saying, oh, this isn't a big deal. And to be honest with you, I think that is the chicken's way out. to comment on Facebook and say, so we deliberately didn't put it up, but we're inviting you onto the show because I'm not going to read out if there are, I'm not even suggesting there would be horrible messages, but if there are horrible messages, we're not going to give you the green card to just literally type in messages on Facebook and us read them out. That's too easy. You get the easy way out there. So people are more than welcome to come onto the show and give their opinion. But the idea of just us putting it up on Facebook and letting people rant and say horrible things, that is the easy way out. I'd literally have more respect for you if you actually came on and gave your opinion. I don't understand where this hatred for the Indian community is coming from all of a sudden.
Nor do I.
I don't get it. Any Indian person I know, hardworking people, I mean, you go into any hospital.
Can I just tell you, if the Indian employees in the health service in Ireland were to up sticks and leave, we would literally have debts on our hand because the health service would fall asunder.
Yeah,
okay?
I just don't get it.
So
I'm actually embarrassed.
I want to give a shout out and a thank you to Mick O'Toole from The Mirror for his help with this story. Anupa, welcome to Opinions Matter. How are you, Anupa?
Thank you. Thank you for the time and, you know, for hearing me as well.
Okay.
We are getting better.
So tell me firstly, before I find out what happened to your little girl, tell me a little bit about you and your family and how long you've been in Ireland.
I'm actually a nurse working in the University Hospital Waterford here. And my husband, his name is Naveen. He works in a nursing home here. And we have two kids. The elder one is Nia. She's 6 years old. And the younger one is only 10 months. He's a boy, Nihan.
Okay, so your two children were born in Ireland. And in fact, you've become naturalized citizens yourselves because you're here so long. And you're both working in the health sector. So you're now naturalized Irish citizens. Is that right?
I am. You know, I got my citizenship last year, and me and Nihan are, you know, citizens now. But Nia's application is under process, and my husband is still Indian citizen.
Okay, all right. So you are now an Irish citizen, and the rest of the family are being processed at present, including your daughter.
Me and Nihan are Irish citizens. Only Nia is under process, and, you know, husband is about to apply only.
Okay, all right.
But I think it's important, and it was us that asked the question, I think it's important to stress that both parents actually work for a living. They are professional workers working in jobs that are very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sickening thing about this, because some of the commentary I saw online is, sponging off the state, coming over here and sponging off the state. Both these people, both this child's parents work for a living and pay taxes, unlike the scumbag racists that are given out about.
Absolutely, I agree. So tell me then, Anupa, you initially lived in Dublin and you now live in Waterford, and you are settled in Waterford. As you said, you're working in a hospital in Waterford. Tell me then, what happened to your daughter last weekend?
Oh, that was a scary experience, you know. My husband was actually working on Monday night. He was on night shift, so I was alone with the kids. Nia, she just wanted to play outside with her friends, just through a cycling. So it was around 8 o'clock, 7:45, 8 maybe that time. I was supervising her. She was happy with you know, the friends, with the same age group. So, you know, Nihan, my younger child, started crying because it was his feeding time. So I told Nia that I will be popping in and, you know, feed him and we'll come back in a second. So I popped in and was preparing the food. Suddenly I heard the knock again in the door. When I opened, these were Nia and her friends. I saw my girl, like, she was so scared. I could see a bruise on her, you know, right cheek, and she was crying like anything. I never seen her like that. And, you know, her friends were also scared. So I asked what the matter, and one of her friends said, a gang of teenagers, I mean, they call him bad boys because, you know, they sometimes comes here and around. I never seen them before, but the kids know them. They came all together, maybe 5 or 6 people. They said 3 boys and 2 girls. They punched Nia all together on her right cheek, and one boy who was riding the bike came very fast and hit on her, you know, private part with the cycle wheel. And the kids started,
they rammed again. Your daughter is six. These kids were boys aged between 12 and 14. Is that right?
I think so, because I saw them later. Three of them I saw. So they were on age group, maybe 10, 12, 14. I'm not
okay,
sure.
So these are bigger kids. These are 12 to 14-year-olds picking on a six-year-old little girl, ramming a bicycle into her private parts, is what you've just described. And what, and what did they say to her? And they hit her as well. What do they say to her?
Later, you know, that night, Nia told me, like, they called me dirty bitch, you know, dirty girl, dirty bitch, and go back to India something. So she didn't know what said, and she repeatedly asked me, am I dirty? And she knows we are hailing from India. And so she thought they're asking her to go for a holiday in India. So she was asking, what's that mean? And, you know, they told me to go back and am I dirty? So then only I realized it's a really racial attack and all, you know. Anyway, after that incident, I was trying to console the kids in front of the house. And I saw this gang coming again. Then only I realized, you know, they are staring at us. Few times they were roaming around, and I called one of my friends. She came in. You know, we were talking and discussing about, and we saw this gang again roaming around our house a few times. So then I was so scared, and I called Daddy, because my husband was in here, and you know, I'll be alone with the kids, and these gangs are coming in and out. Like, after they were very bold, even staring at me. So I called the guard, and the guard came in maybe in around half hour. But I appreciate that, but I got a very, very, very cold, you know, response from them. First, they asked the age group of the gang. Then I told them maybe teenagers. Then they said they can't, you know, I wasn't supervising them. That may be the reason for the attack. I mean, the kids has to be supervised always. That's where their suggestion and advice. But I said I was with them, but I just popped in for a second just to feed the second baby. And she was just playing in front of our house. So that means it's not a safe place at all. That's a matter of concern.
That is very, very concerning that a young six-year-old child can now not play outside her front door with her friends for fear of this group of young fellas aged 12 to 14 coming back around again and doing the same thing again. That is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
That kids of that age... Sorry, go on. Yep.
Yeah. Sorry, the most scary thing was they are living in the same estate, you know, and the guard, you know, they said they can't take... They don't know who they are, so it's difficult to find them. Then we said, okay, we will help you to find out the house, because Nia's friends know where they live, actually. So they told me, they already told me they are living in the same estate and they know their house. But the guard, you know, I asked them whether they can at least talk to their parents, you know, and they keep silence. That silence was really heartbreaking. Then after the guard went, they said they will investigate, but I didn't have a trust because they didn't respond in a quite lovely manner. I mean, they weren't rude. I mean, they were always calm, and you know, there was not much response from them. It was very easy for them to find out the house, but they didn't. So even after that, you know, I called my husband to come. You know, he couldn't go for work at that time because he was also scared, you know, to leave us alone. But my surprise was, you know, it was so surprisingly. We didn't get any feedback from Garde until next evening. We called them there. They didn't even inquire how we were, you know. There was no response. So we called them back in Tuesday evening. Then one of the officers said they don't have a record of such incident. They are not aware
of it. I don't believe
this.
You.
That was a surprise thing.
So when you called back the next day, the Gardaí said they had no record of a call out for this incident.
Yeah. That's what the response. That was shocking. Then we said the Gardaí themselves, two of them came here. We are talking about it. And so my husband and two friends, you know, went directly to the Garda station. Then only they are registering the case, we assume. Before that, they said this over the phone. So that was so surprising. And then we thought, you know, we are not going to get any support. We are not going to get any justice. So then we decided to, you know, talk frankly about this, because we were so scared. They are living in the same estate. There is no response from,
So what you're saying is the reason you've decided to speak publicly about this to both the Mirror newspaper and to ourselves is because the Gardaí haven't taken this seriously. Nothing seems to be done. Nobody has gone to these the parents of these children, and you're left in fear that something like this is going to happen again.
Exactly, because no feedback from, even we called, they said they are not aware. That was the officer who took it. And so we thought it's not registered, you know, and we physically popped in. Then we decided maybe we don't know how it will be going, even with the 6-year-old and the teenagers are living in the same estate. They are not concerned with, you know, that was the experience. So then really, but now the Garda is registered the case. One of the officer came here on Wednesday and they said it's officially registered, but we are trying to get the, you know, the pulse number and we had a meeting with one of our Indian association. We got an appointment with Minister John Cummingham yesterday. So he assured he will, you know, inquire about these incidents in Garda and, you know, we are hoping for the best now.
I want to talk about more general about how you and people from your community are treated in Ireland. But I firstly want to ask you, how is your daughter now a few days later?
She's far, far better now, I would say. You know, for first 1 and 2 days, she was so scared, especially nighttime. You know, she had bad dreams and all. She was so upset. She said she's afraid to play outside. So that was it. But today she went outside to play, you know, with her friends. So that's a good
progress,
change, I think.
Yeah. Okay, very good.
But she still has pain in her private part. We went to the GP day before and she said it will take some time. That was the response.
Okay.
I have to say, listening to you tell the story, I can't believe how unbelievably calm you are about this, because I'm just thinking, I have a daughter the same age as your daughter, and if that happened to my daughter, I would be, and I'm sure you are furious, I'm not saying you're not furious, but I can't believe how calm you were being about the whole thing. I mean,
because I know these kids are in the teenage. So if I say something to them, I was afraid I won't get any legal protection. You know, it would be under child abuse. I know that clearly. So I couldn't even talk or support my girl at that time because of this age group. You know, if I say something, I won't be getting any legal protection, I believe.
Yes, okay. So you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, basically. You're afraid to confront these young fellas for fear of the backlash of it.
Exactly. That's why I ask Garda, what if they can talk to their parents? You know, we are not involving, but because the parents has to be aware about their kids are doing this. Maybe they are unaware about it, you know. They need something. They have to talk about these incidents. It will not be happening again from the same guys. But that was so sad response, and I was afraid because they are living in same estate.
Just looking at some of the comments coming in, not on our page, but on other pages, saying that how do we know that this was racially motivated? Would you be fairly certain that this was a racially motivated incident?
Of course, I believe so, because that's why they said she's a dirty bitch and, you know, go back to India. Because I assume these guys will be aware about this kind of racial things are happening in and around in Ireland now, like, you know. We are all aware about the Dublin Tala incidents, you know, starting from there, which is now in Waterford. You know, there are many incidents, because after these incidents being reported in the media, I'm getting many huge response from individual people, you know, including Irish nationality, very beautiful people. You know, I'm here 80 years. I have very good experience here. This is my first experience. I have very lovely colleagues, you know, in and around, many beautiful and hearted, you know, people I have met. And this is not Irish culture. It was always welcoming.
So for the first 8 years of your time here in Ireland, it's been okay. You said yourself you work in University Hospital Waterford. Your husband works in a nursing home. You are providing services that we so desperately need here in Ireland.
You're probably providing, both you and your partner are probably providing services that the parents or grandparents of those scumbags that beat up your daughter are actually availing of. That's the irony of it.
That is the irony of it. So What you're saying to me, Anoopa, is up until recently, you have felt safe and welcomed and secure here in Ireland, but you have noticed a change, both with what happened to your daughter last week, what happened to that man in Kilnamana in Talla a couple of weeks back that we covered on this podcast. You can feel a change in the narrative, can you?
Exactly. That's what I understood, because, you know, this is not a, I don't know, like recent attacks. I mean, maybe, you know, we can maybe in an year time, these things are changing now. I think there is definitely some hate spread speech are going through. That's what I understood after the Talla attack. I was going through the social media comments and it was so terrific comments, you know, coming like hate speech. So far right groups are taking part, I think, you know, so these teenagers are definitely influenced by these kind of things. And I was seeing many comments, people are, you know, the immigrants are the reasons for the housing crisis here, because we are buying homes, cars. I have seen many comments related to that. It was shocking, like, you know, because we are also taxpayers and the government has to, you know, take this issue very seriously. And the Indian embassy is also really concerned about these matters, because Indians are the major population, working professionals here, the majority, whether it can be in the health sector, IT, you know, in banking, whatever sector.
Indeed, the man that was attacked in Talla 2 weeks ago was actually brought into this country because of his IT skills that weren't available, that weren't available to Amazon from people here in Ireland. So they had to bring that man into the country to provide a service that they couldn't get here.
By the way, Anoopa, if you're looking for intelligence or logic or reason from these scumbags that commit these attacks, you're not going to get it, because these people, we know from talking to them in the past, these people are warped in the head. They're warped and twisted.
But what really concerns me is that, and this goes back to the conversation that we had about Talla, the attackers, if you want to call them that, of that man in Kilnamana 2 weeks ago were teenagers. The kids that attacked Anoopa's daughter last week were teenagers. That racist rhetoric is being propagated within teenagers. And that really, really scares me. That really frightens me, that a lot of the attacks that we have heard of recently involving foreign nationals, it has been teenagers have committed these attacks, and that is the case with your daughter Anoopa. Does that scare you?
Of course it is. And, you know, I was getting many messages even from social workers and activists. So what I understood, they are also, you know, afraid, you know, these teenage groups. And the main reason is these individual cases are not registered. I got a huge response from many unknown. I mean, I don't know these people before, but I'm not getting huge messages in the messenger and, you know, my numbers telling that they also had some incidents, you know, some experiences, but they were trying to you know, report to Gardam, but it's not officially registered. That is so disappointing. And you know, I got many messages from even from the activists. They were saying they were involving some cases, but it's not get registered. That is so shocking. And that is a, you know, matter of concern. The, you know, it's not registered, these individual cases. Another thing is that these groups are teenagers mainly. We need something counseling. I don't know what the government is planning, but we need, you know, and we can't, this protection laws that is, you know, giving them courage. You know, even if they do any crime, they know it's clearly that there won't be any legal action. Yeah. So we have to deal with these two issues mainly, and the government has to break the silence, because it's time now, I think, because this is no really good the Ireland was always very migrant friendly country, and it is 99% of people, you know, they are very beautiful, you know, people in and around. I know that. But these minor groups are spreading hate speech and all that through social media. We ourselves have reported many channels, and it is, you know, those channels are spreading hate speech. We have, you know, the account is blocked now. So
But sorry for cutting across. I saw a comment on one of these websites about you and your husband, saying that you were scroungers and that you're on social welfare here and that you're scrounging off the Irish government, even though it's been proven that both of you actually work work full time for a living in jobs that are important jobs. Does that not anger you? Does that not anger you when you just hear that stupidity, that false information?
Like, you know, if any incidents happen, there will be negative comments. I'm not a person, like, I don't mind that those kind of comments, like, you know, whatever they took me, I know that whatever I'm doing is right and I'm not doing anything wrong. Like, I am highly taxpaying professional, my husband as well. And, you know, it is very difficult to live here with the rent and all for the first time, whoever is coming as a migrant here to work. We have to pay the high rent, you know, and we are paying tax and as well. We are not doing any legal things. And we are here to, you know, clear a large labor gap here. We are professional. That's why the Irish community invited us.
In fact, I'm delighted you actually said that, because that's exactly what you are doing. You are filling a large labour gap in the Irish economy, particularly in the health sector. And when people, all you have to do is avail of any sort of service within our health service or nursing homes or whatever, and you will see that a huge percentage of people working in that sector are people like yourselves that we desperately need, that we literally couldn't cope without. Our whole health service would fall asunder if it wasn't for you. Stay with me for a second, Anupa. I want to bring in some opinions on this. If you want to get involved, you can WhatsApp us on 085-825-2626. Darren.
Again, this is a young scrot problem. As usual in Dublin, they're attacking everyone, every random person. I was abused and attacked going on a date a few weeks ago in town. Like, they're abusing everyone, but the minute they abuse someone with brown skin, it's all, you're all pure racist. They're abusing everyone. You talk about until the cows come home, it's not going to change that until something is done with laws.
And by the way, Darren, you just mentioned that it's scumbags in Dublin. This story is actually from Waterford. It's not from Dublin at all. This is actually from Waterford City. And
It was racist, Darren.
It was.
It was racist.
To be told you're a dirty black, you're a dirty Indian, go back to India, F off back to India. It's just disgusting. I'm sorry, Darren. That is pure and utter racism. No, there is no other word for it.
If this was, and Darren, I know this doesn't fit your narrative, but if this was two children having a fight on the street, just pushing each other over because they had a falling out, that's fine. Kids do that all the time.
That's not what this
but
was.
But this was...
This was targeted.
This child was targeted because she was seen as an immigrant, even though she was born in Ireland.
More calls in a second.
It's the Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. A podcast from Ireland with a difference.
Sinead, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Sinead?
I'm good, Adrian. Welcome back, Jeremy.
Thanks very much indeed, Sinead. Now, what do you make of what you've been hearing from Anupa and what happened to her young daughter?
I mean, the first thing I want to say is I'm just so sorry, Anupa, for what happened to your little girl and what you've had to put up with from these people in your neighbourhood. I live out in City West, and City West has a large Indian population in it. I've witnessed some of this stuff firsthand. It's absolutely appalling. Like, in my son's school, one of his best friends in his class is an Indian boy, and there was two other kids that was overheard by one of the other dads that told him that they were not allowed to play with him because he was brown. I mean, it was appalling. So that dad that overheard it, he went to the school, and the school sorted it out straight away. They actually hauled in both sets of parents of the other children. You're talking about 6-year-olds here, by the way. And they were, you know, they were obviously dealt with. There hasn't been any repeat of it since. But also, just in the community, like, I've seen it as in, like, on our community page, for example, last week, there was an Indian gentleman and he put up a post that he was putting together a documentary about racism in Ireland. And you'd want to see some of the backlash of the comments against it. I mean, it's just so upsetting. My own neighbours, they moved out a couple of years back, but they were Indian. They owned their house. They both worked in Tala Hospital as nurses. They moved down the country. Now, it wasn't because of racism that I know of, but absolutely beautiful people. In the area, when I go walking in my local park, you see the Indian community and they're playing cricket and just beautiful, gentle people. And may I say as well, Anupa perfectly embodies the dignity and loveliness that is the Indian people.
And I totally agree. And I've been to India and I've met Indian people in India. And I can honestly say they're some of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. And that's the God's honest truth. I genuinely mean that. Anupa, it must be nice to hear that sort of support.
I was, yeah. I'm delighted with, you know, I know that, you know, this is not the majority of Irish people. They are not like this. And, you know, I'm also part of the community. I know that. Thank you so much for the lovely words and support. Yeah.
Because it's kind of embarrassing, Sinead, to hear stories like this, isn't it?
And Adrian, it's not just Irish people doing this, it's other white nationalities living in this country. I'll give you an example. My husband is a non-national, a white non-national, and he was standing with other two white non-nationals outside of my son's school. And my son's school is right beside an estate that just so happens to have a large Indian, a particularly large Indian community in it. And one of the people talking to my husband said, basically, how awful it was that, you know, the estate was being taken over. And my husband was like, what do you mean? And she was like, oh, well, you know, these immigrants like coming in or whatever. And he said, I hate to point out the obvious, but the three people standing here were immigrants. And she goes, yes, but we're white. I mean, that's, my husband walked away. He was absolutely appalled. Like, I just can't believe the amount of people that don't believe racism exists in this country. It does. And it's so embarrassing. I just feel, I can't even describe how upset it makes me that people are made feel this way in the country.
And when you hear, like we said, the other attack in Tala that we covered 2 weeks, this attack on a young girl in Waterford, specifically picked on because she was a brown girl from India. Dirty Indian, go back to India, is what was said to the six-year-old child, and the F word as well. But does it really concern you, because it does me, that in both incidents, the perpetrators were kids under the age of 18?
Yes. I was at the demonstration that happened up outside the Rural Red in Tala a couple of weeks ago. And the Indian community, again, pure dignity, respect. They all just stood there, and a crowd of right-wingers, now thankfully there's only about 8 to 10 of them, were holding up signs with that poor girl Aisling Murphy's face on it, and I'm sure she would be appalled. She's now being used as a poster child for the far right. But in my community where I live, and there's a lot of immigrants that live in City West, I'm more scared of the young Irish thugs that are hanging around than I am of any immigrant in my area. And I don't think the penalties are severe enough when it comes to dealing with these crotch goblins.
Sorry, what was that expression?
Crotch goblins, because these yokes are dragged up by... It's just appalling.
It's an expression I've never heard before. But, the bottom line is that to hear a story like Anupa's story is enough to make you embarrassed, isn't it?
I can't even express into words how embarrassing it is that this is happening, and just how upsetting it is that these kids are being raised to think it's okay to attack someone simply because of where they come from.
I'm sorry, Sinead, another narrative that's going on, there's a message that came in here from Eddie. Let's read it out here, because he's saying, as soon as I see this, blame the government. Okay. And he goes on about blame the government, they hate the people they're supposed to be looking after, blah, 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 blah. You can't blame the government for scumbag behaviour. And there's another comment after coming in. This is the government's fault.
This is the way it's always the government's fault, or it's always someone else's fault. They lack any accountability for their own actions.
Yes. Scumbags are scumbags because they're scumbags, and probably because they've been raised by racist scumbag parents, or because they're hanging around with other scumbags, or because they're looking at the social media pages of the far right, and they believe this bullshit that every single person that comes into Ireland that doesn't have white skin is here to scrounge. When the irony of it is, most of these scumbag racists haven't worked an honest day in their life.
Let me bring in Cian's opinion on this.
Uma, I'm sorry, very sorry for what happened to your daughter. Those teenagers sound like right scumbags. There's too much of that. Just don't know what the world has become to. They are absolute scumbags. I cannot believe people would do that. I just don't know who some people think they are. trying to get the better of somebody, especially a young child like that. And everybody, no matter what nationality or anything you are, everyone has the right to be treated equally. So I'm sorry about that. And the injuries they did to her, how dare they? I would have absolutely went mad if that was my daughter. I would have dragged them to their parents and I would have made a show of them and I would have made sure they were grounded. There's too much of all of this in this day and age. The parents just do not discipline their children in the way that they should. Anyway, guys, good topic. Talk soon.
Martha, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Martha?
I'm good, thanks, guys.
Now, Martha, what did you want to say on this?
Well, first of all, I want to say fair play to Anoopa. She's handling the situation with a lot of grace, and her comments about how it should be dealt with and wanting counselling or some sort of like support like that for the children who did this to her little girl. Like, that's exactly right. That's exactly how this needs to be dealt with. And we need to look at that within our communities.
The story that we heard of a six-year-old child being attacked by a group of kids aged 12 to 14, having a bicycle rammed into her private parts, being called a dirty Indian, go back to India, all by kids that were much older than her. She's only six. What does that say to you about where we're at in this country?
It's ignorance and lack of education sent out by the parents. At the end of the day, as parents, it's up to us to educate our kids and teach them how to deal with diversity in our communities. Like the area that I'm living in at the moment, I see this daily, and it's disgusting. It's generally a friendly neighbourhood, but it's the teenagers going out, standing outside the shops, throwing stuff at people that are just going in and out to get their shopping just because they're migrants. It's disgusting.
It really is. And when you hear people sending messages like Eddie's message a while ago, blame the government. They hate the people they're supposed to be looking after, and no accountability is ever given to any of them, no matter what they do. The youth probably hear this at home, and they take the anger out on the wrong people just because they're not from here. But the bottom line is blame the government, Eddie says.
How can you blame the government for scumbags being racist towards a child? How can you blame the government for that?
But no. He goes on to say...
It's the inability of separating, like, the problem that we have with migrants coming into the country that... Oh, sorry, guys, I have to go. My little boy is really not happy with me being on the phone.
Okay, cool.
She's not a fan
of the podcast.
She doesn't like the podcast, that child.
Anoopa, when you hear messages like that, somebody saying, blame the government, and Martha was about to say, it's the inability of Irish people to separate people like yourself and your family who are here doing good work from the some immigrants that are here to literally scrounge off us. What do you say to that?
I didn't get you. The ground job means some immigrants are doing ground jobs. Yeah, we are. Like, you know, especially in the hospitals, nursing homes, IT, banking. These all are the basic, in the healthcare system, it's the largest system, you know. That's the basic support and, you know, one of the human being need, a proper healthcare system. So the majority of the hospitals and nursing homes are, you know, are run by the immigrants now. Especially, I'm not telling only about India, but from Philippines, Africa, and, you know, majority of them are from migrant nurses or, you know, the healthcare workers are from different parts of the world, actually. And Ireland was always welcoming us. And I would like to mention that if we are this immigration and migration, it's not only a recent thing. You know, if we check the human history, we all originate from Africa. That's the history, actually. So this happening everywhere. This is not a single thing. It's not only happening in Ireland. Even people move from, the professionals move from Ireland to Australia, UK, Middle East. That is happening. And, you know, in and out everywhere. So this is not only the thing happening in Ireland. So we have to address and appreciate whenever professionals are coming to fill a labor gap in a country, that's a service to the country, actually. We are giving tax. So this tax is a major source of income for the government, for the development. So that's a matter, and especially the healthcare system, you know, and the IT, banking, everything is needed. So people has to understood that immigrants are not here to do any bad things. We are here to support and develop the country as well. So that's a matter of concern. So the government has to, they know that very well, but they are silent, I think. But not, that's not the right thing. We need support system from the government and also from GARDA, you know, the social workers, whatever the system, supporting system we have. So the people need an awareness about these kind of things. You know, immigrants are not here for giving a negative impact for the development of the country. And that's a matter of every country, say, history of migrant immigration.
And it is very, very unfortunate that decent people like yourself and your husband and your family that are here with good intention, who are here making a valuable contribution to this country, are being swept up in this hateful narrative that is sweeping the country. I want to read a message, though, and it's something that you said, Anupa, a while ago, and this is a message from Chris, and he says, sorry, but I can't come on. I'm more annoyed here that the Gardaí didn't even make a report about it. These kids were old enough to know right from wrong. Just look at that girl, Anna, in Lucan. Her killers weren't much older. We need to put a stop to all these attacks. Please send on my apologies to that little girl and her family from all the true Irish people, says Chris. And I have to say, Anupa, one of the things about your story and what happened to your daughter that does shock me is the fact that the Gardaí, when you literally had to go down and get angry for them to even look into this when they said they had no knowledge of even a call out.
Yeah, it was. That's what they said on Tuesday when we physically appeared. Only they, you know, they registered the case. That was so shocking, and there was no feedback over that night or the next morning how we were during that night. That was so shocking, and she was only 6 years. That was so upsetting. I didn't expect that. But I realized later, you know, after that, you know, I am not only the one person who is going through, but many of these cases are not get registered. I have clear evidence and, you know, message from the people who suffered now. So I'm shocked. But these things are not registered, and I'm not.
It really is. It's beyond belief, I have to be honest. Stay with me for a moment. I want to go to Robbie. You're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Robbie?
How are you doing, guys?
What did you want to say on this, Robbie?
I just think it's, I read this in the paper. I was going to work there on Tuesday. I seen on Facebook a picture at the front page of the paper, and I was genuinely disgusted. And I was saying to myself, like, this is, you know, it's because the youth detention centres were all closed down, and I can't. And there's no punishment for the little fuckers. And what makes it worse, they know the law as well as the parents do. They know they can't be touched. And that's what makes them, you know, they're brazen as fucking to get away, because they know they're going to get away with it. They'll barely get a slap on the wrist. You know their record gets expunged at 18.
What's even worse is because they were kids, the guards actually did absolutely nothing about it. They didn't record their visit to the house. They didn't put it into the pulse system, which in itself is shocking. That to me says...
Yeah, it definitely should be recorded.
Yeah, but that to me says the guards looked at this and went, oh, Jesus, it's not worth the hassle. They're only kids. Sure, nothing will happen to them anyway, so there's no point in us even trying to do
something. Yeah, I mean, it should be recorded, but the guards probably didn't do that much because they know that they're throwing resources or something that they, you know, they'll go up to the house, even if it was pointed out to them, they'll go up and you know, it's like, oh, my little angel wouldn't do anything like that. He was up doing his homework all day. These kids are raised by scumbags. It literally filters down through them, through their blood almost. The problem is it's a systemic problem with you know, people like that. And until there's actually bullying for the teenagers, they'll grow up and they'll breed. Honestly, in 100 years, the movie Idiocracy will become a documentary.
Yeah,
you see the way some of these fuckers are breeding.
Yeah. I think examples need to be made. I mean, you look at the story, Robbie, from Kilnamana a couple of weeks ago, the Indian man who was viciously assaulted.
Yeah, I listened to that podcast. It was against them.
No,
and these were young people as well.
Yeah, no arrests. I find this bizarre. No arrests have been made yet in that case.
Yeah.
I find that bizarre because it was a group of people. There was videos going around about it. We exclusively spoke to the woman who witnessed them. Was she brought in to, for questioning and to identify these scumbags?
No. Nope.
So until examples are made of these tow rags, it's going to continue and continue.
Anoop, I want to sincerely thank you for joining us on the Opinions Matter podcast. I am genuinely shocked and saddened to hear what happened to your little girl. But I hope out of all of this that she gets the courage, well, you said she did already today, but gets the courage to go back out playing with her friends. And hopefully she will be left in peace from those little tow rags who attacked her the other day.
Thank you so much for hearing me. And I would like to say, big hearts and, you know, thanks for all the people, you know, especially my Irish colleagues and all who gave me support, you know. Thank you so much.
And you have to remember, this, and I know it doesn't look good, but the majority, and I know this, the majority of Irish people are not that way. This is a small minority that make a lot of noise. They're in the minority, but they make a lot of noise because they've nothing else going on in their lives. They literally don't have jobs. They don't have to go out and work long shifts like you and your partner do. They literally just sit at home typing bullshit and hate and vitriol online.
Anoop, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you. Thank you for hearing. Thank you.
All right. And that's just about it from this latest Opinions Matter podcast. If you enjoyed it, please hit subscribe or follow. Click on the bell icon on Spotify and you'll be notified every time we upload a new episode. We'll catch you on the next one.